It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll talk about the intersection of free speech, government, and the private social media companies that have a growing influence on the flow of ideas. First, it's Food Friday. This week, we focus in on an ingredient with a surprising history that's making a big comeback. Love it or hate it, you can't ignore it. It's celery. You might be surprised by how many different ways we can use it. I was. Celery can find its way into breads, soups, beverages, even desserts. Lori Skelton is a WPR classical music host and a Food Friday regular. She's been trying out celery in her cooking this last month. Lori, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here.
Well, I mentioned a surprising history of celery. Celery used to be hot stuff, right?
And I think we may be coming back around to that. We'll get to that in a minute. But yes, celery used to be in certain tables, especially in Europe, more expensive than caviar. It was considered very high-end. Celery has been cultivated since antiquity, and it was a very welcome vegetable, herb, whatever you want to call it. Some people call it both, on tables going back to, you know, the Roman feasts. I know when you go through the Taste of Wisconsin cookbook that the hotels in Madison and Milwaukee were having a hard time bringing it in. And then, of course, when they were able to get this very high-end vegetable, a lot of people didn't know what to do with it.
Now, you've been doing your homework on celery, and the image I love the most is you let us know that sometimes when young folk were a-courtin', instead of a bouquet of flowers they might bring...
I have heard that this is an Amish tradition dating back maybe generations, but that rather than flowers, yes, you'd bring celery. I know creamed celery is a traditional dish for an Amish wedding, and I have seen pictures where a bouquet of celery, if you will, is in the middle of the table, although that is the way it was served in high-end restaurants over 100 years ago. Big vase of it, each stalk in water, and guests would take the celery from the center, probably eating it with their fingers. How daring.
Now, I'm not dating happily, but if I were, I would love to bring this tradition to the forefront.
Well, I'm told that it might have had some sort of tie-in with a popular dessert in Michigan. Apparently, here in Wisconsin, we put grated carrots in our Jell-O molds. In Michigan, apparently in Kalamazoo, you put chopped celery in with your Jell-O. I don't think I'm going to try that.
No, me neither. And you were hinting it's making a comeback. Celery is big again?
Well, one of the reasons I was interested in looking at this vegetable is I've always thought of it as it's the afterthought, because it's so cheap, it's so ubiquitous, you don't really pay attention to it. And when I started working on these recipes, in January, grocers were paying $20 a carton for celery. In April, the price had gone up almost $70,
wow,
up to almost, and it's still climbing. Two reasons. One, bad growing season in California. It was too cool. Celery is a crop that needs cool weather, but this was too cool, too rainy. And then apparently the latest juicing craze is celery juice. I am not a doctor. I am not a nutritionist. I am not prepared to prove or disprove something that a non-credentialed author named Anthony Williams is saying, but right now, celery is through the roof price-wise because everybody is juicing it.
Well, now there's good news. We're going to get our own Wisconsin celery before too long. Let's talk about the celery flavor. I think the negatives people think of are it has that kind of astringent flavor and it can get kind of bitter. Can we work around that?
Actually, you can. Know your grower, for one thing. Believe it or not, the darkest green celery is going to be the most bitter. You'd think that something that vibrantly green would have the best taste. That is actually showing that celery was not grown well. Celery needs, as I say, cool conditions, a lot of water, well-drained soil, and really it shouldn't be exposed to sunlight. So good growers will actually blanch it when it's in the ground, not throw it into hot water, but cover the stalks with either newspapers or straw so that sunlight doesn't hit it directly and so that the flavors are bright and green, slightly pungent, but you don't want bitter. If you've got bitter celery, that's a good indication that it's not grown well, and it's probably too old to use just on its own. You're going to want to work with it a little bit.
And how do we work with it then? How can we prepare our celery if we're worried about that taste?
The basic way to handle this is start with butter. Celery loves dairy products, and almost every recipe I encountered said start by working your celery in a fair amount of butter. Whether you go on to braise it in stock or in some kind of alcohol, whether you go on to stir fry it, whether you go on to even use it in a dessert, as we tried, you're going to want to not start with it raw. Raw celery has its place in certainly in salads, certainly when you're making ants on a log for your kids. But even there, you're still going to want to look out for, you know, don't just pawn off the really bitter stuff on your kids, because you might give them a complex like I had for years about eating celery, because I had too many experiences when I was little when it was just too old and too bitter.
It's Food Friday. We're cooking with celery with Lori Skelton. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a celery fan? Are there big celery fans out there? I don't know. Tell me if you are. And do you like to cook with it? Do you grow your own celery? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, I've tried a couple things you made for us, Lori. We'll get to the dessert in just a bit. This thing I liked, a celery bread.
That was a surprise for me, because after going through all of this, start with the butter, start with the butter, start with the butter, I ran across something from the Virtuous Bread blog in London, where you make a very basic bread dough, whole wheat flour, salt, yeast, and water, and then you give it a couple of slow proving at one point 90 minutes and then another hour, and then you make sure you rest it between kneading it. And at one point you fold into it a couple of cups of raw celery and a little bit of raw onion. And I thought, oh, really? But it was amazing. It baked into this lovely boule, and it had a lovely full flavor, but it wasn't overpowering. The crumb was still tender. What the London blog suggested, and what I found, was this is a great bread for strong cheeses. And I went strong. I went brick cheese from Monroe, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, well, and I thought celery and bread, it seems kind of weird. But somebody said, well, what about stuffing? Isn't that just like crumbled up bready stuff with celery in it?
But then again, when you're making stuffing, you've got celery plus probably some other things. Even if you're not putting a lot of protein like sausage or chorizo in your stuffing, it's a good bet that you're using a kind of a stock. Even if it's vegetable stock, that's going to have more vegetables in it. You're never just working with celery on its own.
Okay. Let's bring on a caller. We've got Doug on the line in La Crosse. Doug, hi.
Hi. How are you today?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Doug?
Well, I am a transplant, just moved up to La Crosse from the Texas Gulf Coast about 5 years ago. Celery is part of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
In case your listeners didn't know, Cajun cooking and I believe Creole as well, pretty much anything that you're going to cook in a pot starts with onions, bell peppers, and celery.
And let me guess, twice as much onion as celery and bell pepper, right?
Correct.
Okay, which, of course, that's the Trinity, because it mirrors the classic French Trinity, the mirepoix, of twice as much onion to carrot and celery when you're doing almost any stock or sauce. Oh, of course, it's a great base. And one of the reasons I wanted to focus on celery was, yes, I know it works with other things. Where can I find recipes where celery is more of the standout? Mm. But Doug, you're absolutely right. You can't do Cajun. You can't do Creole without your celery in there.
Doug, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. It's Food Friday. Lori Skelton is with us to cook with celery. We'll hear about some more dishes coming up, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite way to cook and or eat celery? Do you have a recipe to tell us about featuring celery? Do you grow it yourself? Are you doing it this year? We have some to spare for Lori. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Find a recipe we'll talk about in a couple at WPR.org/Food Friday. It's a celery dessert. This is Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. Lori Skelton is with us for a look at the many different ways we can use celery in our cooking. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is celery a snack for you, or do you use it in your cooking as well? Do you have a favorite dish that uses, maybe features celery? Do you have questions for Lori about how to use it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, Lori, you brought in a dessert recipe from Lydia Bastianich. She's been she's best known as having been a guest on this show. I understand she does other things as well.
Well, yeah.
all right, maybe not. But candied pears and celery. We've got this at WPR.org/Food Friday.
I didn't believe this the first time I read it. She wrote it up for years ago for Gourmet magazine, and I have the Gourmet cookbook, and I'm reading this. It's like, okay, celery and dessert. That can't possibly happen. But it's Lydia Bastianich.
Right.
She doesn't make mistakes. And sure enough, again, another food blogger mentioned trying it and being delightfully surprised. I brought this in for Wisconsin Public Radio to try, and everybody was surprised. Tastes better than it looks, was the general consensus. Part of my brain won't accept celery as dessert, but it's not bad. The sweet pears with the slight bite of celery, somebody else said, this needs ginger ice cream, and I couldn't agree more. This would be lovely with ginger ice cream, and since it's Lydia Bastianich, if you've ever made Italian olive oil cake, this would be a lovely thing to add to it. Even with the syrup, it's very refreshing. Central Time producer Dean Knetter, I think, had the best comment. Pears have a bright flavor. Celery has a bright flavor, both when they're raw. You roast pears, you lose that brightness. But there's something about the roasting of the celery, it still has that bright green flavor. So you're able to play off the raw versus the cooked in both of these in a way that makes both of them just taste better.
So celery and dessert, it can happen and it can work.
It can. Now, having said this, this is a recipe we've got online, and I must caution you, if you don't normally drink Moscato dessert wine, be very, very careful. There are varying degrees of sweetness, and I picked one that was very, very very sweet. So I cut back on the amount of sugar that I used. I was very happy with the way the dessert turned out, but the actual candied syrupy around the celery was probably not as thick as Lydia Bastianich would want it. So knowing it, when you know how sweet you can handle your wine, play with that. And again, you may come up with something that's not as thick on the celery, but will still taste delicious.
Let's go back to our callers now. Shelley is with us in Madison. Shelley, hi.
Hi. Thank you, Lori and Rob. I love celery. Doug sort of stole my thunder because I could not agree more. I don't know what you can't cook without onions and celery. So I appreciated that. But I love celery raw. I love celery, and sometimes people are like, you're putting celery in that, but I love it. So,
okay.
Thank you. I'm so eager for some of your recipes.
Well, now let me ask, when you're putting things in celery raw, why are you adding it? What is missing in the basic recipe that you think celery is adding the missing ingredient?
Oh, gosh, that's a really good question. My first thought that comes to my mind is kind of that tang. I don't know if that's the right word, but
that's a great word.
The crunch would be that. Yes.
The texture, but also that's a great word, tang.
Mm-hmm.
That you're adding some zip to it, and again, up until just a few months ago, it was zip that came at a relatively low price tag. All the more reason why, if you are going to go out and buy a bunch of celery and only use a couple of stalks in one recipe, you want to make certain you're using the whole thing. So yes, I'm thrilled that we've got all these other options.
Shelley, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to Marcus in Milwaukee next. Marcus, hello.
Hi. So my cousin Dave's birthday is the 4th of July. And his favorite dessert is strawberry rhubarb pie. Anyways, one year, my grandma actually, partway through making the two pies, she ran out of the strawberry rhubarb to go with the strawberries for the pie, and she actually took and cut up a bit of celery and dispersed it between the two pies, and none of us noticed. She just said that she had to go with some of the neighbor's regular rhubarb because it looked a little more green compared to the strawberry rhubarb, and it was fantastic, and only after both pies had been devoured gratefully did she actually tell us what had occurred.
Wow. And did somebody then make it on purpose with some celery, or was this a one-off?
This was, well, to the best of my knowledge, it was a one-off, but it could have could have been flipped a Mickey on other occasions. I don't know.
Well, considering both celery and rhubarb are stalks, you're definitely dealing with the same kind of cellular structure in the plant. But good for grandma. This is a woman who definitely knows her way around the kitchen and obviously knew how to adjust the seasoning in the pie so that nobody was the wiser.
Thanks for the story, Marcus. Appreciate it at 800-642-1234. It is Food Friday. Lori Skelton is with us. We're cooking with celery. Lori, before I go back to our callers, mentioning rhubarb reminds me of a big thing about celery. That stringiness sometimes is a problem. And, you know, rhubarb can be the same way. What do we do about it?
Celery is pretty easy to deal with. If you're breaking off stalks, you break them off so that you've got that slightly wider piece at the end. Literally, just bend that back and pull. And, again, if your celery is not old and not tough and not bitter, you should get most of the strings just by pulling it back from the end of it. If you notice a few more strings, then go and get your swivel peeler and give it a quick swipe with that. And that's going to take care of most of the strings. But you're absolutely right. The stringiness, if you're not expecting it, if it's not part of the dish, if it's not the texture that we've been talking about, it can be off-putting. So it's worth taking the extra minute to peel it.
All right, back to your calls with no strings attached. Kathleen is with us in Montello. Kathleen, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Kathleen?
Well, I've been using celery in smoothies way, way back. I didn't even know that it was a fad now. But the thing that I would say is when you use celery in smoothies, you do have to macerate it pretty well. I use a Ninja blender for mine, and I put it with everything in my smoothie, and it adds just a really nice, bright flavor.
Kathleen, thanks for the call. Macerate, I think I've learned from you, Lori, that's when we're mooshing things together with fruity stuff, right? Roughly?
It's a way to do that. Although she was specifically talking about the blender she was using, I think that goes back more to what we were just talking about. You need to make certain whether it's you're using a really good blender or you're taking the strings out beforehand that you don't want that texture in a smoothie.
For sure. Thanks a lot. Enjoy those celery smoothies. Cindy is with us next in Appleton. Cindy, hi.
Hello. Well, two of my favorites, because a good Waldorf salad is made with celery, which I absolutely love, and I love celery with just peanut butter, you know, spread all over it.
You bring up an interesting point, something I didn't know before I started this. Walnuts and peanuts and celery have similar chemical compounds in, which is one of the reasons why they go so well together. Now, peanut butter on celery, yeah, we all had ants on a log when we were kids, but one thing that I had completely forgotten about is that there is that wonderful satay sauce that's usually served on chicken, the peanut sauce.
Like a Thai or Southeast Asian sauce.
Yeah. And depending on how hot you want it, you add more or less chili. It's a thinner sauce. Very often people use it as a dipping sauce. But hot peanut sauce and celery is fantastic. If you don't want to go the whole stir fry route, but you've got some celery and you want to use it up, thin some peanut butter with maybe a little stock, add some chilies, and toss your celery in that. It'll be fantastic.
Thanks for the call, Cindy. Marcus is with us now in Green Bay. Marcus, hi.
Hi. I used to grow celery quite a bit in my garden, and it became too much as far as having to keep it mulched and water it. But I got to where I would always cut the leaf and dry and save the leaf, and I use it in everything. And now I just grow celery and I let it get bushy and I cut it all summer long. I dry the leaf. I use it fresh. A lot of times I'll use it instead of cilantro in salsas and things, especially if people don't like cilantro. But it adds this earthy quality to everything.
You said earlier, Lori,
a celery can be an herb, too.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And yes, the bread we mentioned before, they suggested that you line your final proving basket with celery leaves so that when you turn the bread out and bake it, the celery leaves are on the top. It looks delicious even before you take a bite.
Time for one more caller. Denise is with us from the Twin Cities on her way through Wisconsin. It sounds like Denise. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, my husband's a chef, and he's also was born and raised in Greece, so we eat a lot of Greek cooking. And one of our favorite dishes, especially in the winter, is chirino meselino, which is braised pork with celery in an egg lemon sauce. It is amazing.
Oh. Avgalamono, of course. Oh, that sounds fantastic. I've had avgalamono as a soup, but never as a sauce for pork. I'm going to have to try this. It sounds incredible.
Fantastic suggestion, Denise. Thanks a lot. Well, celery blew up our phone lines, Lori. One more dish you mentioned. Behind the scenes here, when there's a really successful dish that Lori makes for Food Friday, you know it's good because there's not enough left over to bring in because she ate it all. What was that this time?
Marcella Hazan, another great Italian cook, she makes celery risotto. And you put half your celery in with the onions at the beginning so that they cook. And then you save a little more for towards the end so it still retains, again, that texture, that bright green taste. It's a fantastic side dish for chicken and for duck.
We'll leave it there, Lori. Thanks a lot for joining us again on Food Friday.
Thank you so much.
That's Lori Skelton, WPR classical music host and a Food Friday regular. She was with us today to share some of the many uses for celery. Thanks for all your calls as well. And by the way, you can find the recipe for candied pears and celery that Lori talked about earlier. It's at WPR.org/Food Friday.